You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
All right. Well, enough announcements. I'm excited because we have sort of a guest speaker, but she's not really a guest. She's a regular, active member of our family, bringing the word today. And it was, I will admit, hard for me to give up this topic because it's one of my favorites to talk about. But I would say she trumps me in her how dear this topic is to her heart and how passionate she is about it. And really, I have to say it's because of Talita that community prayer continues to move forward, because she keeps being the voice of the Holy Spirit in my ear. Every time there's a lull, she's on my case about it and lighting a fire. And so she, in my opinion, is really like the fire starter of prayer ministry in our community. And so, since today we're talking about intercessory prayer, it seemed very fitting that she would share the message this morning. So welcome, Talita.
Thank you so much. So I think it's going to be helpful this morning to actually start with communion. So if you're listening online, you can look for some elements. If you're here in the room, the elements are on the tables. If you're not at a table, you can raise your hand or run and grab them or whatever you need to do. So, trying to see if we're ready. It looks like we are. I want to share the verses that we so often read when we're taking communion from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So let's take the bread together. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" So let's take the cup together. And then Paul says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Or in the New Living Translation, which I heard a lot when I was a young Christian, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." And so the reason I wanted to take communion first this morning is because I wanted this to be sort of a reminder that we're proclaiming, we're announcing the death of Christ. This is such an incredibly powerful act that's rooted in the incredible power of Christ's sacrifice for us. It's an action that's also an announcement. It's also a proclamation, and of the incredible goodness and glory of God. So I pray that you'll be able to sort of hold that in your mind and in your heart as you listen to the rest of what I have to say this morning. So as you know, we're in the middle of a sermon series on spiritual formation, and in particular on how we can be spiritually formed in prayer. And as Rebecca said, I'm speaking about intercession today, and I wanted to highlight some of the different ways that intercession is a privilege. And I have a slide. Yeah, here it is. So just in case you're not clear, the simplest of the many, many possible definitions of intercession is that it's praying for someone or something else. So it could be, you know, anyone you know that you're praying for, or it could be, you know, the city of Milwaukee or the nation or Milwaukee Public Schools or whatever it might be. And I think there are kind of two different privileges of intercession that I want to highlight this morning. First, that it's something that we share with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And second, that it can be born out of our relationship with God, our faith in God's goodness, God's love for all people, and Christ's saving work for all people. So I pray that you'll be able to receive that message and believe that message as you're listening this morning. So I think it's helpful to start with some verses from Romans chapter 8. And Paul is saying a huge number of different things in Romans chapter 8, which could be many, many sermons. But I'm going to start with the second sentence in Romans 8:31. So this is the end of Romans 8:31, and I think there are two things here that are helpful when we're thinking about intercession. So Paul says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered," which Paul is quoting from Psalm 44. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So there are two things that I wanted to call your attention to here. First of all, in verse 34, Paul says that Jesus is interceding for us, that out of Jesus' sacrifice for us and out of Jesus' death and resurrection, he's able to be right there at the right hand of God, interceding for us, helping us to come to the Father. The other thing I want to emphasize here is, you know, as Paul points out in verse 32, the grace, the generosity of God towards us, and the incredible power of God that Paul says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And I think it's helpful to bear those things in mind when we're thinking about intercession. I also want to share two other verses from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. So the context of the beginning is from a different context, because I'm taking them out of order here, but Paul says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So I just wanted to highlight here that the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us and is helping us to pray, is giving us words, is helping us express our heart to God when we, you know, don't know what to say. So with these two things in mind, I want to look at a story of intercession from Genesis chapter 18. But first, I think it's helpful to give a little bit of context. So in this story, or God, right before this, has promised Abraham that he's going to make a covenant with him. He's going to give him the name Abraham. He's going to, as he says, make him the father of many nations. And then later, God says that he'll make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore, that they'll take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through his offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. So then in Galatians, Paul says in verse 3:7, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. So I just want to highlight here that when we're looking at Abraham's intercession, there's a lot that we can sort of connect to our own intercession. The other important thing to understand as we're looking at this story is that in the next chapter, right after this, we're going to see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were two cities that were engaging in so many sinful practices that after hearing so many prayers about them, the Lord decided to destroy those cities. And as it turned out, he actually rescued some of Abraham's family members before destroying them, but that is what's coming up after the story that I'm about to share, which may be helpful in understanding it. So this story is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 to 33. In the beginning of Genesis chapter 18, three men have come to visit Abraham and his wife, and the Bible tells us that one of them is the Lord in a human form, and that two of them are angels. So that's what we're talking about when we see the men in this section. So Genesis 18, 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away, which is the angels, and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare or not forgive the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again. "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I'm nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again, he spoke to him. "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. So there are three things that I want to call your attention to in this conversation between the Lord and Abraham. First of all, in verse 17, it says, "The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?'" And I love this because here you see God is deciding to share his plans with Abraham. God is deciding to communicate with Abraham about what he's going to do and about what he's thinking. And I think that we still have that privilege now, but we sometimes don't always recognize it. So I think it's just helpful to bear in mind the Lord has chosen to communicate with Abraham and to share with him about what he's thinking. The second thing that I want to call your attention to is the end of verse 25, where Abraham says, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And I think this is so important. I think Abraham is so sure that the judge of all the earth is going to do right. And then as Abraham continues talking with the Lord, he's talking out of that assurance that his God is going to do the right thing. I think it's helpful for us to sort of come to the Lord with that attitude when we're interceding, like to trust that the judge of all the earth will do right, that he is generous, that he will do good. And then the last thing I want to call your attention to is the way that, you know, Abraham continues to sort of hope that God will be better and better. And he keeps saying, you know, well, can I be bold again? You know, please don't be angry, but I want to ask one more thing. He keeps using the word bold. He keeps saying, you know, may the Lord not be angry, but I have one more question. And so I think it's helpful for us to sort of trust in the confidence that the Lord has made a way for us to ask him anything out of our faith in his goodness, or even a tiny mustard seed of our faith in his goodness. So I think it's helpful to look at some verses in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 10, verses 19 to 22, the author says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." And then in 4:16, the author says of Hebrews again, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So I think it's helpful when we're interceding to remember that Christ has made the way and that we can be bold. And the Lord's not going to be angry, as Abraham says, if we are coming to him with this faith, any kind of faith in his goodness, any kind of hope in his goodness, the way has been made. So I think this is one helpful way to think about interceding now is coming to God who wants to communicate with us with faith in his goodness and with faith that Christ has made a way. But I also wanted to give sort of a more modern example that I find helpful from a book that many of you like called Can You Hear Me? Tuning Into the God Who Speaks by Brad Jerzak. We're all happy to talk with you more about that book later, but he has a chapter on, as he puts it, meeting God in intercession. So he talks about how we can meet God in our imagination. And I think that this story that he's telling is helpful for giving you a picture of one way that you might be able to start interceding if it seems, you know, overwhelming or difficult for you. So in this story, what's happening is that a friend of his, a mentor of his, someone older that he deeply respected, is in the hospital and is expected to pass away soon. And, you know, Brad says that he was hoping that he'd be able to go and see him in the hospital, but he wasn't sure if it was going to be possible. So he was praying that the Lord would open the door if it was, you know, if it could be. But then the Lord did make the way. So then he does go and pray with this man in the hospital. And then I'm going to read the section of this story where he's leaving the hospital. And I have at least one slide for that also. So he says, "By the time I returned to my car, I felt a churning in the pit of my gut and a heavy sensation on my forearms and hands as if I was wearing lead sleeves and gloves. I drove to a safe place and lay down to offer up this burden to the Lord. I sank into a vision in which I was carrying Barry full-sized in my arms. I thought, I need to hand him to Jesus, but couldn't find him immediately. Ahead of me, I saw a river, and on the far side, I saw the Lord standing on the bank, waiting to receive Barry into the kingdom of heaven. He said to me, I want you to carry him for a while. I'm not strong enough, I answered. Enter the water. The river will help you lift him, was his reply. As I obeyed, I found that if I stood belly deep in the river with my arms extended, I could hold Barry afloat without tiring. I was aware somehow that this was Mel's healing river, which is a place that he's described earlier that a cousin of his would imagine when she was praying for people who needed healing. I was aware somehow that this was Mel's healing river and that those who bathed in it would return from it whole. Others, like Barry, would be cleansed of the dust of this world as they crossed it in death. I felt the lightened burden of holding Barry afloat in the river for 3 days, and then on Monday it lifted. The next day, I received word that he had crossed over into eternity right around the time that my burden was lifted. This event was one of the great privileges of my life, yet somehow I know that I am just one of many friends and disciples who helped carry Barry on the final leg of his journey. If that is true burden-bearing, then it is an awesome blessing. So I chose this little story for two reasons. First of all, because Brad Jerzak tells us that it's an awesome blessing, which is sort of similar to what I'm saying about the privilege of intercession, but also because I think it's helpful to have this sort of mental image of sort of bringing the person that you're praying for to the Lord. You don't always have to do this when you're interceding, but if you know, if you're not sure sort of how to start, I think one way to start, which could be your homework for this week if you want some homework, would be to, you know, ask the Lord to highlight someone that he would invite you to pray for, and then picture yourself, imagine yourself bringing that person to the Lord, and or sort of ask the Lord what he thinks about that person. And it's going to be something good. It's going to be blessing or encouragement in some way. And so I think this kind of picturing can be a way of sort of beginning to pray for someone else. And of course, another way would be to, you know, join some of the various teams that we're starting up. So I hope that I'll see some of you at the interest meeting afterwards. At this time, we're going to transition into a time of worship and prayer ministry. There are two things that I felt like the Lord was highlighting that he might want to touch, that he might want us to pray for some people about this morning. So the first sense I had was that the Lord will give you what you need. So if you feel like you're not sure how to start with intercession because you feel like you don't have enough time or you need more training or whatever it is, or even if you feel like you need something that is not in any way related to intercession, I feel like the Lord is offering to give you what you need this morning. So if you're thinking right now that there's something that you need, either related to sort of pursuing intercession or related to something else, then we'd love to pray for you about that. Riley's on the prayer team over there, and I'll be there too. And maybe some others, maybe Barry Lynn, maybe some others. and the second thing is that one thing that I've sort of emphasized a lot in this sermon is my belief in the incredible goodness and generosity of God. And there have been many times in my life where I've really struggled to see that or struggled to understand that or like, God, how are you good in this situation? How are you good in that situation? So if you are struggling to believe that God is good all the time, that that's God's very character to be good, we'd love to pray for you for that as well. And for anything else that you might want prayer for.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.